This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. One more thought on geography. Turning our attention to the Caribbean, one place on our map of vulnerable coastline communities, a big storm surge could have a considerable effect. Our friends down at WLRN in South Florida have been looking at just such a scenario. Tim Padgett is America's editor from member station WLRN in Miami. They've just completed a report on sea level change projections in the Caribbean. Tim joins us. Tim, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
So what are the disturbing numbers and who's most vulnerable based on your community of listeners there at WLRN?
Well, most vulnerable would be the western islands of the Caribbean, particularly the Bahamas, and that's because the eastern islands of the Caribbean basin were often formed volcanically, which gives them a little more breathing room, more breathing space as sea level rise continues throughout the century. The western islands, like the Bahamas, though, are just downright flat. And that makes them particularly vulnerable, particularly when you think that a lot of islands in the Bahamas chains are only about 2 feet above sea level, and that's well below a lot of the projections that that scientists are making for sea level rise in this century.
Tim Padgett, how much of this is based on climatary information, and how much of it is change is based on really population movement towards the coast so that there are actually more people in harm's way?
I mean, you have to consider that because the Bahamas don't have a lot of industrial base, the Caribbean islands, island chains like the Bahamas depend greatly on tourism, and that puts 80% of your population, for example, in a lot of places in the Bahamas, on the coast. So more than a three-fourths of most populations in the Caribbean dwell on the coast, and that exacerbates the projections of not just vulnerability but damage as we go on in the century.
Does the tourist industry support the kind of investment that would end up protecting those businesses, those vulnerable populations?
It's going to have to, and we're going to have to see a combination. According to the Caribbean community, we're going to have to see a combination of the tourism industry ponying up more to create more adaptation and mitigation measures, seawalls, levees, and that sort of thing. But we're also going to have to see the industrialized world pony up as well. And that's because, according to CARIGOM studies, the Caribbean islands produce less than 1% of the greenhouse gases that many scientists say produces the global warming that produces sea level rise. And as a result, Caribbean community nations really don't think it's that unreasonable then for the industrialized world to help it pay the mitigation tab that it's staring at, which could be, high tens of billions of dollars.
Is there a debate going on regionally about precisely that sort of trade-off of responsibilities, the industrialized world helping to invest to protect some of these vulnerable communities?
Oh, we've seen it for years now. Countries like Guyana, for example, that is facing, a lot of sea level rise forecast problems. They've been looking at ways to create carbon exchanges, et cetera. It's always been a big topic in the Caribbean basin. How can we make it more attractive for the industrialized world to invest in things like sea level rise adaptation measures?
And where can people go to see, how low you can go there in the Caribbean in terms of these vulnerabilities?
Well, organizations like the Caribbean Community Climate Change Center based in Belize, they're looking at islands like the Harbor Island, for example, in the Bahamas, which is particularly low. And they're projecting that in 50 years, if a lot of serious measures aren't taken, you could be looking at most of the deluxe hotel resorts, for example, on islands like that, being lost.
Underwater.
Because the beach resource there will be so eroded that you won't have that kind of resort complex.
Tourism on the way out in places like the Bahamas. Tim Padgett, America's editor at WLRN in South Florida. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.